Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
You are listening to The Bird Calls. For more breakdowns on the Pelicans, including interviews with coaches, journalists, and opposing experts, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. All right, what's up, Pels fans? We're going to do this intro quick because this is our second time recording due to technical difficulties. There is a terrible storm here. New Orleans has had some power outages. Kevin was out of power for an hour and a half. David and Ali are both having some trouble. Thunder is literally shaking my house right now, so hopefully this goes off without a hitch. Of course, my name is Preston Ellis of thebirdrights.com. I'm joined by our editor-in-chief, Ali Cosell, also Kevin Berrios, and Crescent City Sports' David Grubb. So glad to have him. We haven't had him in a couple of weeks. So let's go ahead and just start on in with David. And we were just talking about this before we were so rudely interrupted. The Pelicans.
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
We're said to be interested in Yogi Ferrell, and we were discussing what this could possibly mean for the point guard position, the primary ball handlers of Jrue Holiday, Elfrid Payton, and Ian Clark. Scott Kushner, in his latest article for The Advocate, said that Holiday manned that position for about 40% of the time, but Dell Demps in recent comments said that he expects Elfrid Payton to get the first crack of that. What does the Pelicans' pursuit of Yogi Ferrell mean to these three and the point guard position?
Well, you know, I think they're always looking to upgrade talent. And, you know, Yogi was an opportunity at a low cost to possibly do that. They do have an inexperienced group of guards in some situations, like Elfrid Payton is, you know, going into his fifth year, but he's still relatively young. And behind him, you have Frank Jackson, who's a rookie. So I think they are going to continue to explore options and maybe find a veteran to come in if they think that he's a good fit, and possibly Yogi could have been. But I don't think that there's an urgent need. I don't think that there's a player out there that would be an immediate upgrade from what they have. But I do think, you know, Dell's always said he's looking for talent. He's always trying to find talent. And if they find a guard who they believe can help, then I believe he'll pursue him.
Let's go over to Ali. Obviously, we just discussed this. Just succinctly wrap up what you were saying in regards to this, Ali.
Yeah, I'm not as positive that the Pelicans really need another point guard. I just think that since Yogi Ferrell may have been out there, they saw some interest. But just like last season where the team rolled with Rajon Rondo once he came back from his injury, they relied on Jrue Holiday and secondary ball handlers. I don't see any reason why they won't do the same this season with Elfrid Payton. And then Jrue Holiday's going to be behind him, who's a lot more confident than he was at the start of last season. And plus, we'll have Frank Jackson, a seasoned kind of Ian Clark. So they've got other options. I just think that, as we've all been talking about, this maybe present an opportunity to get a guy they didn't think would be available, so they kind of had to jump or at least kick the tires on him, you know? So I don't foresee them probably adding another point guard because they can do it at any time during the season like they did last year with Jameer Nelson. If they find out that Elfrid Payton is indeed struggling on picking up all these concepts by Alvin Gentry's fast system or Darren Erman's defensive concepts, then yeah, maybe you could see them make a move. But, you know, I foresee them getting through training camp and preseason before making that determination.
All right, Kevin, and Ali kind of answered it for us, but I was going to ask you what the Frank Jackson situation means for, or the Pelicans' pursuit of Yogi Ferrell means for the future of Frank Jackson. Obviously, he's been bitten by the injury bug, 3 foot surgeries on that right foot. It started with a stress fracture at Duke. What do you think this means for the future? Do you think the Pelicans expect him to contribute this season?
Yeah, I think they do. I don't think it means anything for Frank Jackson, just like we've all said already. You know, the Yogi Ferrell thing was just a good player that became available, so why not take a shot at him? But I think they expect Frank Jackson to play a lot this year. I was kind of surprised they brought Ian Clark back because I thought all of those minutes they wanted to give to Frank Jackson. But, you know, having a safety net like Ian Clark is a good move as well. If they added another playmaker, that's cool. I don't think it's the biggest need. As we said, I think Elfrid Payton can do everything on the court that Rajon Rondo did. I think the difference is locker room and the intangibles and the coaching up that Rajon Rondo did is going to be the thing that we miss, not necessarily what he physically did on the court. So hopefully somebody else can provide that. That would be the thing that you mainly lose by losing him. So I don't necessarily think point guard is the biggest need, but you know, there, if there's a great player out there, or a solid player that fits what we do, go for it. You know, that if it's a guy that could be a long-term piece or a quality piece, you know, understand the pursuit of Yogi Ferrell.
Moving on, David, let's talk about the 3 position. Obviously, Etuan Moore probably penciled in there, but Joel Myers recently said that Nikola Mirotic is going to be the starter there, in his opinion. I don't remember if he said that was based on source or just his general take. David, who do you see starting at the 3 position, and do you see Mirotic coming off the bench?
Yeah, I think the best situation for them currently with the way the roster is that Mirotic does come off the bench for the balance of the lineup. They need outside shooting in the starting lineup because Julius Randle does not bring that particular skill set that DeMarcus Cousins had at that position. And then you talk about whether you have a solid, if Solomon Hill were to start, as Kevin talked about before we rebooted, you know, you lose the shooting and spacing there. And we know Elfrid Payton struggles to connect consistently from 3-point range. So I think it makes the most sense to continue to have the balance based on who they have currently, to have Etuan start and bring Nico off the bench. Because of his defensive ability, he's more suited to defend the 4 and the 5, whereas Julius can defend 3, 4, and 5. And, of course, Luke Walton said he could defend 1 through 5. But I think you want to have Julius on the floor because you have that smaller backcourt to be able to use his ability to switch and get over and keep Nico with that second unit to both balance your offense and to be versatile on the defensive end, because they don't have a lot behind him in the front court.
Got it. Let's move right on to Ali. You said that you would be surprised by Joel Myers' comments of Nikola Mirotic in the starting lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think that's a lineup you want to save for the end or on special occasions throughout a game when it's a matchup determinative. So I just think that this is going to be the main 3 guys manning the 4 and 5 spots for the Pelicans. That's Mirotic, Randle, and Anthony Davis. So why would you want to start all 3 guys? Why would you want to, when you're going to be the fastest paced team in the league, or at least I think that's the goal, why do you want to start and run these guys into the ground? It just honestly doesn't make any sense. I'm just curious why Joel Myers said it. My gut feeling is, and there's been other people saying Mirotic is going to possibly even start over Randle. I disagree. I think with the contract Randle was given, I think he was given some assurances that he's probably going to be given kind of a starting role, because he was upset last season. Luke Walton didn't start him for the first couple of months of the season. That really got under his skin. And then I just can't foresee the same thing, or him being agreeable to the same thing happening without some kind of, like I said, assurances that in order to sign for the MLE, like $8.7 million. And again, Bobby Marks said this guy's worth at least 12 to 14 per every season. So now I just think that Mirotic is going to come off the bench, like David said, just like all of us believe. And therefore, the Pelicans are going to run 3 guards, probably not with Solomon Hill, simply because we see Elfrid Payton starting.
Kevin, let's just skip all this and just jump ahead a couple of minutes. Right now, the starting lineup, according to all of us, is some version of Elfrid Payton, Jrue Holiday, Etuan Moore, Julius Randle, and Anthony Davis. And then likely under contract at this point, you've got Frank Jackson, Ian Clark, Darius Miller, Salmon Hill. DeAndre Liggins was guaranteed $50,000, but still no word as to what the Pelicans think his future is. And then you've got Nico Diallo, Alexis Ejensa, possibly Emeka Okafor. I think part of his deal was guaranteed. Kevin, do you think that any other additions are going to be made to this roster in free agency, or do you think this is kind of the group that they're going with into the regular season?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think that they're probably looking at moves, but if the price is too high right now, then they're going to wait. I think they're not 100% satisfied with the – I mean, I think they're happy with the roster they built. They got some good players, but I think they still want to improve, especially at that three spot. And they probably have some moves that they are discussing with teams, but the prices might be high right now, so they might have to wait into season to make a move. So there is a good chance that this is basically going to be the roster we start the season with. But, you know, if something shakes loose, I think, you know, if they have a breakthrough in a negotiation, you could see them make a play to get a three or, you know, a wing to sort of solve this question mark that we all have at what's going to happen on the wing position to start the lineup in the starting lineup and in the long term at the wing for us as well. So, you know, it's just a matter of that, but I think they're pretty happy with what they built. I mean, it's a good team. You have a lot of flexibility, and going back to what everybody was talking about with those three men in the big man rotation, you know, Randall can cover so many positions. Mirotić can cover about two. Anthony Davis can cover a ton of positions. So even if you played them all three together, it doesn't matter who's playing what offensively, defensively, they could match up as they need to make that work. So I wouldn't throw that completely out the window as a bad situation to be starting with, but I do agree that I think one of them should come off the bench and stagger it. And to me, it all depends on who the three is, because you need more shooting in there, because Payton, though his numbers show that he's a better shooter now than he was, he's still not the kind of shooter that defenses respect. And even Jrue Holiday isn't that kind of outside shooter that, you know, the defense is going to respect. And then, you know, so if you have Randall and Anthony Davis, though he makes threes, he isn't also another, they, you know, the defense would love to have him shooting threes and not have to guard him out there. So you need somebody out there that's going to command respect behind the 3-point line. And that's why I think Mirotić, I would start him, but I understand, you know, they may have made a promise to Julius Randall that they have to do that. But I mean, I think all of them are going to get starting minutes and all of them are going to be in the closing lineup. So it just all depends on massaging egos there.
David, one of the problems the Pelicans ran into in the postseason, I realize I'm getting ahead of myself here, but it's a question that I wanted to ask you, was the lack of depth. Obviously, the Pelicans had to utilize some of their best players upwards of 40 to 44 minutes, which is pretty common in the playoffs. But I think they were disappointed by the lack of production they got from their guys like Ian Clark, Darius Miller, and Salomon Hill. Ian Clark did have that one breakout performance against the Blazers when he had 18 in game three. But what are you hoping to get from the bench this season? Right now, it's Frank Jackson, Ian Clark, Darius Miller, Salomon Hill again, possibly Nikola Mirotić, Cech Diallo. No word as of Emeka Okafor and DeAndre Liggins, as far as I'm aware, as to what their future will be in New Orleans. Are you comfortable with this bench heading into the regular season?
I mean, I think you're very comfortable with Nico if he's on the bench. Obviously, he would be one of the candidates to be a sixth man of the year. But you still, yeah, I mean, Frank Jackson is a question mark. You know, we've only seen 13 minutes of action in summer league from him. So to have high expectations, I think, would be unfair to him and to the team. So, you know, right now you'd say, you know, you'd hope that he would have a decent rookie year as a 20-year-old, you know, point guard who hasn't played much in the last year and a half. Then you look at the rest of the group. Ian Clark is dependable, but, you know, and will have occasionally have a very good game. But again, not very big at the guard position, has some struggles defensively at times. and has struggled with his shooting from, you know, at points last season. So I think, you know, DeAndre Liggins, they didn't trust him much at all, even when games were not in doubt. So, you know, it's difficult to see him making a major contribution again this season. Emeka Okafor, again, like you said, who knows if he'll even be on the opening day roster. And Cheick Diallo, again, we haven't seen the kind of progression that maybe you would have thought at this point in his career. And I think Alvin Gentry is starting to lose some patience, if not faith, in him. So, yeah, I think there's some work to be done on the bench. And that's what Dell has excelled at least, you know, in short-term ways, shoring up the bench, finding guys who can fill a role for however long he needs to do it. But there are going to be long-term questions about the bench, and you can't ride, you know, those guys 36, 38, 40 minutes a night over the course of a season again and think you're going to get the same results. So I think the bench is still an issue. It may not be one that completely tilts them over, but it's something that they'll have to address.
Ollie, we're going to get into some possibilities in the free agent market. There's obviously not a lot left. If the Pelicans truly want to improve, it's going to have to be through trade. But what are your thoughts on the bench right now? Do you think this team is as good as the one that finished sixth last year? Do they think they still need to make some upgrades in order to contend in the West? Or are you comfortable with the eighth man rotation of Nikola Mirotic, let's say Darius Miller and Ian Clark heading into the postseason next year? And that's obviously, I'm taking a leap of faith that the Pelicans are going to get into the offseason. So what are your thoughts on that bench and their possible production?
I think for right now, it looks good. I think you have to be happy that you've added Randall and you know, for nothing, basically, when you look at DeMarcus Cousins missing half the season. So that's already an upgrade. So you're already moving a key contributor to the bench. I don't think that Dell Demps is done yet. And when you look at some of the free agents that are still out there, there's a Jamal Crawford, Nick Young, these guys that he's been tied to in the past and being interested in signing them. I can foresee him possibly landing one of these guys for the minimum. That is if they don't latch anywhere else for more money. That said, yeah, I think Liggins' roster spot is very precarious on the roster as to where Emeka Okafor seems to have a better foothold, because both of these guys, as you've mentioned, Preston, haven't been fully guaranteed yet. So at any time, the Pelicans can let them go up until whenever their contracts guarantee. And I'm not sure of the dates, but I know they've got some time before any of that happens. So I foresee at least one of those guys probably not being on the roster at the start of training camp. And rightfully so. They need more shooting, more wing depth. And Liggins doesn't really provide that. He's just notoriously known for being a good, solid defender. And Emeka's kind of gotten up there in age, as to where if you think you can get either something out of Agencia or you can rely on Diallo, or maybe Dell Demps is looking at Jahlil Okafor, who's out there, who, you know, he's been known to be interested in. So no, Press, I think there's going to be some more moves made. But that said, you should be happy with this eight-man roster, the top eight right now, because they are a better looking, you know, unit to me than the one we saw get in the playoffs and sweep the Portland Trailblazers.
Definitely. Kevin, before we get into the free agent questions, and I apologize if I already said that, we're doing all of this for the second time. Early in free agency, the Pelicans were said to be interested in a bunch of big men, JaVale McGee, Trevor Booker, Kylo Quinn, Greg Monroe. Some of these guys are still available. Trevor Booker and Greg Monroe are still available, as far as I know. Kevin, how serious do you think the Pelicans are at improving the depth of that five position? Do you think they're content right now with AD, Okafor, and Agencia, or do you think those are some conversations that are still ongoing?
I mean, I think they should be, because, you know, you have three quality big men that you can combine together in any scenario, and they would all play together well. And then you have, you know, a young guy like Diallo, who's shown some ability to play and some ability to be an energy guy off the bench. And then you have the reliable vet and Emeka Okafor, you know, he had like five blocks in his first game with the Pelicans or something like that. So he's shown that he's a stabilizing force there. So I think you need to look at other areas of need. So I wouldn't be concerned with adding another big man at this point. And I think, going back to what Ollie was just talking about, the fact that Liggins is still on the roster is kind of shocking to me, but it also makes me think that there's some sort of deals that are in place that are being negotiated where it's like a Agencia and Liggins contract combined to bring somebody back. And that's the reason he hasn't been waived yet, because why not waive him and try somebody else? Because he hasn't shown anything to really warrant that roster spot. And the coaching staff has shown that they don't really trust him enough to give him playing time. So I think that his roster spot is very short-lived, and you'll see somebody else come in at some point, whether it's they give up on the trades that they are talking about right now and they waive him and then sign another guy to a minimum, or he's combined with Ajinsa to bring back more talent.
All right, let's go over to Grub. We're going to get to some questions from some guys that our listeners really hope that the Pelicans are going to pursue. And obviously, there's some big names. Ali mentioned a couple of them. I think Vince Carter is still technically a restricted free or unrestricted free agent. Of course, you've got Nick Young, Jamal Crawford, Devin Harris, Noah Vonleh, Malcolm Delaney, Aaron Aflalo, Jarrett Jack, Jason Terry are some of the bigger name guys. And then you've got some guys like Tyler Ennis, David Nwaba, Shane Larkin, Paul Zipser. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few. If the Pelicans did want to utilize that remaining 15th roster spot, is there someone on the market currently that you would hope they would pursue?
There isn't a name that I've identified, you know, that I really think that, it, you know, this is the guy that would, you know, they should target. The main requirements for me, and I think a lot of people think the same thing, is that you want to see some more length at wherever at the position on the perimeter, at either at the two, the point, or at the three, especially. You want to see length and athleticism more than anything, and see somebody who has one really good skill. I mean, I think you want to see somebody who can do something at a consistent level. If it's defense, if it's moving the basketball, if it's penetrating and getting to the rim, if it's shooting the three, they need someone who on a night-to-night basis they can depend on to do those things, and hopefully you know, more than one of those things. But I don't, you know, again, like we talked about, I don't think the point guard is the most important thing. So a guy like a Shane Larkin or a Devin Harris doesn't really upgrade in my opinion at this point. But maybe, you know, if you had a Vince Carter who is a steadying influence at the small forward, who can still, you know, understand how an offense is going to operate, can penetrate a little bit, can pull up for the jumper, somebody like that, but younger maybe, would definitely be something I'd be interested in. But other than that, I don't know if there's a person at this stage of the season, like Kevin said, you know, it'd have to come through trade, possibly find somebody that you can go after. But I wouldn't be in a rush to do it to start the season unless it's the perfect candidate.
And that question is from Waka Waka Wakanda, our friend. Thank you so much for always supporting us and giving us your great questions. Ali, let's continue that line of thinking. Not a lot remaining, but we saw last year Dell Demps still diving into the free agent pool in as late as August, I think, is when Ian Clark was added, somewhere around August 3rd. Do you think something similar could happen this offseason?
Yeah, sure, because there's still a bunch of names out there, as you've just mentioned, and the Pelicans roster to me is incomplete. I know that when people look at it, you see 14 names, but as I've just said, two of the guys are unguaranteed, and I just don't see a fit for Liggins. Liggins is a guy you bring in when you've suffered through some injuries and you need a hand in the backcourt as a reserve, especially for defensive purposes. And right now, you know, the Pelicans have no need for him, especially if Solomon Hill's healthy and everybody else is ready to go. So, but I'm with David, though. I don't particularly see a name. Although I would think if I'm Dell Demps, you would think that he'd probably be most interested in possibly pursuing Nick Young. I would hope it's not Jamal Crawford because he's getting up there in age. We've seen what he can do or really can't do anymore with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I just don't see a fit for him when you've got each one more. And if you're counting on Frank Jackson, what purpose does Jamal Crawford serve? But a guy at the three, and you know what? Swaggy P had actually some decent defensive moments in the playoffs last season, everybody seemed to talk about. That was kind of the talk, you know, going around the Warriors even. Teams, hey, this guy can actually hold his own just a little bit. And if he could do that and make some threes, that could even make Darius Miller maybe expendable in a trade. Or, you know, they need somebody that's more aggressive. You know, Darius Miller, if he can't improve, and that's what you've got to be looking at if you're Dell Demps. He needs a guy coming off the bench that's going to look for a shot, take it aggressively, game in, game out. And Darius wasn't that guy. He had his good stretches, of course, but there was too many, you know, weeks when we wouldn't see anything out of him at all. So I could see Nick Young possibly pressing. But other than that, no, I think that they'll wait for a possible trade, maybe up until trade deadline, or, you know, somebody maybe out of left field again. Who knows?
All right, Kevin, I'm going to give you this specific question because it's in regards to somebody that you wrote an article about on thebirdrights.com. This is from our friend Andy Coyer. He says, what are the possibilities the Pelicans trade for Rodney Hood or maybe pick up Blossom Game?
Well, I don't know what the probability of those things are, but those are two moves I would support. I mean, I think to get Hood, they would have to clear out Ajinsa and Liggins in a trade to clear salary cap space, or, you know, work out a sign and trade with Cleveland for him. And then for a Blossom game, you might be able to get him for a second. I don't know how the Kawhi trade affects that and how San Antonio views him going forward. I mean, I think he turned some heads in summer league, and I think they're probably pretty excited about him. But as far as I know, no kind of contract has still been offered to him. So he doesn't have a two-way, and he doesn't have an NBA contract at all. But they own his rights, so you can't just sign him outright, which makes things a little bit tricky unless his agent can get them to renounce his rights and making him a free agent. Some other younger guys that I think that they could take a flyer on would be like Tyrone Wallace, who had some moments for the Clippers and might be a guy who could be a solid three who can defend a little bit. He's not a great offensive player yet, or a good offensive player yet, really. And same thing with David Nwamba from Chicago. He's really not an offensive player at this moment. And he's not that tall either, but he'd at least, I think he would be an upgrade over Liggins. He's a hard worker. He's a good defender. So those kind of guys could happen. I don't see the Hood thing happening just because of the complications of being a restricted free agent and us not having the to be able to sign him into any kind of money. It would have to be a sign and trade. And I don't see why Cleveland would want to take on, you know, like a Ajinsa and Liggins or whatever to make that work when Hood's a young prospect that could work with a, you know, if they're rebuilding, you know, he's the kind of young player you maybe want to keep around and see if he can develop into something.
All right, moving right along. Sorry, I couldn't tell if you were finishing your thought there. Ty Wallace, by the way, is a guy that I'm super high on. I can't remember who I was talking to last year from Locked On Clippers who was super high on him and kind of compared his game to Will Barton. I think the only reason he's still available is because he is technically restricted under the parameters of his deal, although I think he was an undrafted rookie last season. So difficult to say what the implications would be if another team did want to acquire him, but his designation is restricted and there's not a lot of money out there and not a lot of faith. I would think that somebody would throw a lot of money at the second year player. So the Clippers are in all likelihood going to bring him back to a stocked backcourt that they have over there. They have about six players that could make Teodosic available in the future. Let's get to our next question. David and Kevin just alluded to some of these guys. This is from Brian Becker. He said, should we look at getting David Nwaba and Pat Connaughton to add to the bench? He says both could be valuable contributors. What are your thoughts on those two players?
Nwaba, you know, I think Kevin covered him pretty well. I mean, you know, he's got potential, but we don't know what his ceiling is. Connaughton, you know a little bit more about having seen him play, but I don't know, you know, again, his height, his abilities. He crowds the backcourt. So I think he would, you know, if you're going to add the positions that you're really looking to add at this point would either be small forward or, again, depth at center. But neither one of those solves your issue. So I think, you know, they have abilities, they have skills that you may like, but I wouldn't be in a rush to get either of them. They could, if you know, with Nwaba, again, being probably a restricted guy, then, you know, I just don't see where either of them is an immediate upgrade and the Pelicans could do better. So I think they could just wait on either one of those guys.
Ollie, this is a question. Oh, sorry. Get in there.
Real quick, Preston. Here's what fans need to understand. The Pelicans can only sign guys on a veteran minimum, unless of course, as Kevin mentioned, a sign and trade, or if a guy is still under contract utilizing a trade exception. There are teams still out there that have their full MLE, their full biannual. For instance, the Cavaliers, I was just reading about it this morning. They got both exceptions fully in tow, so they can probably re-sign Rodney Hood, add Nwaba, who they're interested in, add Trevor Booker, who they're interested in, and there you go. You suddenly, you're priced out simply because you can't afford these premium free agents that are still left, you know? So I don't, you know, while it makes for, you know, I guess good discussions talking about Nwaba and all this, potentially fit on the roster. It's just completely unrealistic to me because, as I said, the Pelicans can only offer veteran minimum contracts at this point.
I'm going to debate that point, Ollie, just based on the fact that we've seen some rumblings of Dell Demps and Anthony Davis investigating the availability of guys like Tyreek Evans and Isaiah Thomas. And we just only recently saw Isaiah Thomas go to the Denver Nuggets at the veteran minimum. So a lot of these players, while they may be afforded the opportunity to get a little bit more money if they go to a team like the Sacramento Kings, as Yogi Ferrell opted to, a lot of these guys are just looking for opportunity, and they can get it in New Orleans, specifically playing alongside, you know, Anthony Davis, Jrue Holiday, Julius Randle, Nikola Mirotic, something that DeMarcus Cousins chose to do rather than take the big payday now. Get deep into the playoffs with the Golden State Warriors, get your face on ESPN, on NBA TV, on ABC, and that perhaps will give you a bigger payday in 2019 when a lot of teams, including the Pelicans, will have that salary cap space.
Hey, Preston, if I could, I think the issue, though, is if you're from the outside looking in, look at how many guys who are going to be playing significant roles are in the last year or the only year of their contract with the Pelicans. So in your starting lineup, you could potentially have two guys. 40% of your starting lineup is on one-year contracts with if Julius Randle is starting and Elfrid Payton is starting. And then Nikola Mirotic is in the last year of his deal. And all three of those guys want to make money. So they're all going to be looking for their numbers as well. So if I'm on the outside looking in, that competition for minutes, points, you know, statistics, maybe New Orleans is not a fit for a lot of guys. Because they're looking at that situation and saying, how am I going to get mine? And if, you know, that's a difficult situation for the Pelicans to be in right now, to have to be able to think about what they're going to do with Nico long-term. How are they going to make, you know, manage Julius Randle long-term? How long does the Elfrid, you know, is it an experiment or is it a commitment? You know, those are issues that are still unresolved. So, yeah, I don't see why they would be in a rush right now until they know a little bit more about what they have. And I think that applies also to people from the outside looking in. What are the Pelicans' real needs? Because this lineup hasn't played a game yet. So you don't know how you might fit in if you're looking from the outside looking in.
Definitely. And I'll go over to Kevin because we haven't heard from him in a while. And then we'll get back to Ollie. I think it would be alluring to a lot of free agents, basically because guys just see that the Pelicans push the pace. They score a lot of points. And like Jamel McMillan said on our podcast last year, guys don't get paid for playing defense. So in New Orleans, if you're somebody who wants to, you know, get 10 points a game on your stat sheet, guys around the league see Ian Clark do that. They see Etuan Moore do that. Darius Miller in spurts do that. So these guys see the opportunity. They see the way that some of these guys struggled in the playoffs. And a lot of them have to be thinking, I can outplay those guys. I can steal minutes from those guys. And I can put the ball in the basket better than those guys can. And I'm thinking about, obviously, there's not a lot out there. Paul Zipser, Ty Wallace, as we mentioned, David Nwaba, maybe Patrick McCaw, to name a few. Kevin, what's your thought on veterans across the NBA looking for an opportunity in New Orleans at less money, just based on the premise that they might have an opportunity to get more money next season?
Well, yeah, I mean, if I can play the three, it's a place I would want to go, because you look at that three rotation and there's like that's fighting your way through a wet paper bag to get minutes in that rotation, because there's just nobody there that is shown that they're reliable. So having a guy, you know, if you were a guy who can get minutes there and have skills that could make work, you have a bunch of defenders out there that can cover for you. If you're not that great of a defender, make you look better defensively. You know, you're going to be playing at a super fast pace. You know that in Gentry's offense, you get a lot of open looks. So there's, even though you're not going to be the focal point of an offense, you're still going to get numbers. And, you know, this is a team that's, you know, was a playoff team last year, and it arguably got better with the roster additions that they had, as they were, you know, as the team that swept the Portland Trail Blazers. They basically added Julius Randle to there and just swapped out Rondo for Payton. So you could say that this is a better team on paper than the one that was in the playoffs. So adding that, being that missing piece there, you think you're going to, you know, you can show your skill set and you can put up numbers and you can be covered up defensively if you're not a good defender. So I think it should be a destination that if you can play the three that you want to go to. Now, if you're a big, I wouldn't want to come here. And maybe if I was a guard, I wouldn't want to come here because of the glut that we have. But other than that, yeah, for sure.
Ali, do you want to add on to that or do you want to go to the next question?
Yeah, just real quick. I want to give you a counter argument to your statement as to where you think there's opportunity here in New Orleans for some of these players. I don't see it. you've got seven guys that are going to be getting over 20 minutes a game. Holiday, Davis, Hill, Mirotić, Moore, Randall, and Payton. And then you've got to throw in that next group, Miller, Clark, and possibly Frank Jackson. So do you really think David Nwaba, who's a poor three-point shooter, who's undersized to play small forward, has a chance for minutes if you're his agent? I don't. I just don't see it. Unless you're a legitimate small forward length, or you know, as we've alluded to, you've got ball handling point guard, legitimate seven, you know, what is it? What am I trying to say? Seven-footer for a backup center or that small forward position. You've got no opportunities on this roster. So I don't see it for these guys. I don't see the allure for them signing in New Orleans for that vet minimum. So I just wanted to, you know, give you a counter argument as to your argument earlier.
Yeah, definitely. And I understand that. This is a question from Landon Blocker. He says, are the Pelicans just content with rolling with Darius Miller and Solomon Hill next season at the three? And that's one specific thing. And Kevin Berrios mentioned it as well. Basically, just if there is a three position or if there is a player who can work at the three position, he's got to be licking his chops looking at the opportunity in New Orleans. But obviously nobody has reared their head in that regard. The one big one that was tied to the New Orleans at one point in time was James Ennis. However, Ollie, there have been whispers of guys becoming available via trade or free agency. I mentioned Tyreek Evans and Isaiah Thomas, Anthony Davis and Dell Demps being tied to them via rumor. Some other guys who have been tied to the Pelicans via rumor, Fletcher Mackel discussed Kent Bazemore at one point this summer. Last year, of course, there was the big Reggie Jackson rumor. Do you think there could be something developing right under our very noses right now that we're not privy to that could take place before training camp?
Yeah, I think so. And especially with teams that are trying to offload some veterans, like for instance, Cleveland with the Kyle Korver, or you got Damari Carroll over in Brooklyn. There's certain players where the teams still aren't going to be winning that are still out up there on the block, and Dell Demps covets them for their length, for their abilities and such. So I'm sure those talks are ongoing, but who knows, you know, where they are along them. I just can't foresee the Pelicans offering anything that these teams want simply because this is where there's no leverage built yet, you know? So there's no reason for the Pelicans to acquiesce, even consider spending any decent first round pick, let alone, offloading, say, Alexei Ajensa, who's a nice expiring chip. That's why I've been on this bandwagon pressing that I just don't foresee a move via trade happening till around the trade deadline, or unless, you know, severe injury hits the team.
All right. David, anything you want to add to that?
No, I agree with Ollie. I think they want to let this team kind of gel. So a major addition at this point would probably be a surprise to me before training camp. They may bring in another body or two. But anybody who would be expected to play significant minutes would be a surprise to me. I just think that they want to find out, let this group figure out who they are, at least early on. And like I said, build some leverage, find out who falls apart, find out who is ready to shed some salary and be in a position not have to give up the you know, you, again, start mortgaging the future to try to make a rush for 1 year. So they don't want to be in that position. And that's probably the best place to be for them right now.
All right, last chance, Kevin. The Pelicans technically have three available roster spots if they cut ties with Emeka Okafor and DeAndre Liggins. Do you think they fill any of those three before training camp, or do you think they just run it back with these two guys and leave that 15th spot available?
I think that if they don't have a trade worked out where Ajinsa and Liggins go out to bring somebody back in, that Liggins will be waived before the season starts, and you'll see another guy in that spot.
All right, let's go ahead and quickly talk two ways, and then we'll wrap this up. Obviously, Trevon Blewett is manning one of the positions. The second one is available. Ollie, any indications or any guys you'd like to see get the opportunity from the Pelican Summer League or elsewhere?
It's funny. I was going to write an article after when we all interviewed Walter Lemon in that high school gym in Las Vegas, and the fact that he had started playing better. You know, he's kind of growing on me. I remember writing in one of my recaps of the games, and I was getting ready to write, you know, about him possibly being a second two-way player for the Pelicans. And sure enough, he was, at least in the eyes of the Boston Celtics, who went and grabbed him for a two-way. Right now, Preston, no. I mean, you have no idea what they're thinking. You know, Charles Cook kind of came out of nowhere. Jalen Jones, of course, we saw him competing with the Pelicans, so we kind of foresaw him getting signed to a two-way with the Pelicans. But the only other one I like from Summer League was Shavon Shields, if I'm saying his name right. And, of course, he just signed over in Europe. And, of course, same thing with Tony Carr, in case people don't know. he signed a deal to play somewhere in Italy for a year. So no idea if the Pelicans are even going to fill that spot right now and just maybe leave it open, or they've got an eye on somebody and they're just waiting for that commitment.
All right, Kevin, what about you, sir?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't pick a name for that second two-way spot. I mean, the only guys that, you know, Green was a guy that I think will be a good camp body, but I don't necessarily think he's a guy you want to have as a two-way guy. I mean, we all hope that DJ Hogue would seize that spot, and he had moments, but he never really showed enough, I don't think. I would still maybe invite him to camp to see if he could earn that spot, and he may be the guy. But other than that, I didn't really see much of anyone that I would, you know, think that would fall into that spot yet.
All right, I'll bring up one name before we go, or I'll send it over to David after this. But we watched a couple of minutes of Bran Anguula-Rodas of the Orlando Magic, the graduate of FSU. And while he didn't play incredible basketball, he had a nice offensive game about him, some athleticism. He was a very willing three-point shooter and had a couple of nice-looking shots and just looked pretty comfortable out there. He's a bit older at 24 years of age, but obviously the Magic were a disaster offensively. So maybe not the best name you want to target. David, is there anybody that you would like the Pelicans to particularly target with that other two-way roster spot?
No, I agree with the guys. I just don't think that there's a definitive name out there at this point. And with Dell, you never really know what he's looking for in that spot. So no, I don't have any name to throw into the ring at this point.
All right, let's wrap this up. Obviously, the news is a bit slow at this point in time, guys. Summer League is behind us. Most of the signings have taken place. Friday was a busy day with a couple of trades with Jared Dudley going out of town. There were Yogi Ferrell was another one. A couple of low-level, low-profile moves. Of course, Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan was the big one on Thursday. Doesn't seem to be a lot more movement leading up to training camp at this point in time. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Again, thank you guys so much for joining us. Remember, if you guys like what you're hearing, do us a small favor, retweet or rate us on iTunes. It takes 20 seconds. There's a video I've posted. It's pinned to the top of my profile at Preston Ellis, where you guys can see how to do it. It's super easy, especially if you have an iPhone. If not, if you have iTunes, otherwise go to Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn. It all works from there as well. Thank you so much to David Grubb of Crescent City Sports. You can follow him at DM Grubb. David, what are you working on this week?
Actually, this week I'm breaking down the Pelicans in close games. You know, that was a big thing for them last year, playing 50 games that were decided in the final 5 minutes by 5 points or less. And I want to see how that may change in one direction or the other for this season. So I'll be working on that over the next day or so and have it out hopefully by Tuesday.
All right. What about you, Ollie?
Looking at the impact what Rajon Rondo had on our core guys, the other four starters, and how they did without him. And so far, the numbers look good. And so I don't think we're going to miss Rajon Rondo one bit.
All right. Kevin, you?
I'm going to volunteer to write this recap right now, so I'll do that. other than that, I don't know. I'll see what happens. I might maybe try to find the answer for the two-way contract, looking around who's available, those undrafted guys, second-round guys that aren't get picks or guys in the G League. Maybe I'll look into that. But other than that, that's it for now until we see some more movement or we have, you know, a roster solidified. Maybe go through the roster with a little bit of examination, looking at lineups and things like that. But we'll see.
All right. Well, if Kevin's going to take the recap, I'll probably get to something on Nikola Mirotic this week. I think he's going to have a big breakout just based on the amount of minutes per game that he averaged with the Chicago Bulls and the Pelicans. Heading into the latter part of the season when his usage rate elevated and his minutes elevated, you could see his numbers so too. And obviously there was that big struggle, that slump in March. But I think we're going to head into the 18-19 season thinking that we're going to see more of April Mirotić and less of March Mirotić. And if that's the case, he could be in line for a big payday in the 19 offseason. So we will see. Stay tuned for that. For now, you can follow Kevin Berrios at Kevin B for Bounce, Ali Cosell at Ali Cosell, David Grubb at DM Grubb. Of course, you can follow me, Preston Ellis, at Preston Ellis. If you want more podcasts, just reach out to me and give us a couple of topics, and we'll hop on here right quick and hopefully give you guys some nice content. For now, let's go, Pels.
hope you've enjoyed listening to the Bird Calls on OTG and Nothing But Net here on Dash Radio. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.